Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, another episode of Rochester Peace Theatre.
Welcome back to another episode of Rochester Peace Theatre. I'm your host, Justine Page. And what a phenomenal and exciting and amazing and very thought-provoking start to 2017-2018 season at Geneva Theatre. We are back again this time to chat about the news play to take the Fielding stage. It's called Smart People. And no, the obvious joke has to be made. It is not a pre-qualification to come to the show. By showing up, you've already made the mark. So this play is actually, it is smart, it's intriguing, it's funny, it is engaging, and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And I had an amazing time, and I'm honored to be joined in studio today by two of the actors. I've got Shannon Tayo.
That's it.
Yes!
Nailed it.
Nobody realized how hard it is for me. I get really nervous, and I was like, oh, I forgot to ask before we started
As you were saying, I was like, here we go, let's see.
Geez.
You nailed it, though, you nailed it.
Thank you. Oh, if I have anything else for today, that's going to be it. And then I've got Bryce Michael Wood in studio. And guys, thank you so much for coming in and for being a part of a great play. I'm really excited to have it in Rochester. And I know that it started out at a Kitchen Theater in Ithaca. It started out there. And I believe, Bryce, you actually played, you were in that production as well?
Yeah.
How, and Shannon was as well?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The whole cast. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I missed out. I remember hearing that, but that was a while ago.
All good.
And my brain is dead. So I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. And I just want to, if you guys wouldn't mind introducing your characters, because I know that you guys have, since this is your second production with it, you know, kind of who they are to you now as the characters and who they are as you, Shannon, and you, Bryce, how they relate to you guys. So Shannon, do you want to start?
Sure, yeah. So I play Ginny Yang. She is a Harvard tenured professor and a psychologist who specializes. I am an Asian woman for all you out there in Radioland. And she is an Asian woman who specializes in mental health for specifically Asian women, Asian American women.
And she's a fascinating character, too, because of trying to almost maintain a distance with her subjects, it seems like, and, mm-hmm. and still be subjective. Mm-hmm. But we'll get into that in
a
bit.
Yeah, we will.
She's a real fun character, too. I really liked Ginny Yang. And then, Bryce, you want to tell us about Jackson?
Yes, I'm Bryce Michael Wood, and I play Dr. Jackson Moore, and he is in his residency at Mass General after having graduated from Harvard as well. Specializing in, he wants to be a brain surgeon eventually, and he is a lot. He's way cooler than I am in real life. He's a black man. I'm a black man for everyone out there listening, and he just has to deal with a lot throughout the entire play, whether it's relationships with a woman, whether it's his relationship with his friend Brian, who's a professor at Harvard, or whether it's his passing relationship with Ginny. He's just a bundle of fun.
And it's funny how intricate all these lives are, because they do all tie together. But it is about, you know, four Harvard educated folks who live kind of in the same town and constantly have their circles kind of overlap. And you've also got Brian and I can't think of her other name.
Valerie.
Thank you, Valerie. Yeah. Who was, and it's, so this is around 2007 to 2009, where it kind of culminates in Obama's inauguration. And it's not, just to be fair, though, it is not a necessarily politically driven thing. It does have kind of a good, would you guys agree that it has like a, it has background to it, but it is not the only thing that drives it.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say without revealing too much?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Barack Obama running for president was one of the biggest things that was happening at the moment.
Right.
So it's not centered on that, but obviously it doesn't shirk away from that.
Right. Because Valerie actually campaigns for him too.
Right.
Which
yeah.
is, you know, it's kind of interesting to see, you know, her role develop a little bit more, and then how it interacts with with Ginny and Jackson and Brian and where this all culminates together. So, you know, kind of the play is about smart people, and it is, they are smart people. They're incredibly intelligent. And then, but their interactions are just so entertaining as well, where you're just like, well, this is really awkward, but I'm still going to laugh because it's really awkward. But we've all experienced it. There's this huge relatability concept between all the different characters, right? I mean, how has it been for you going from Ithaca and coming to Jeeva? Is there an audience shift that you can feel?
There's, I mean, at the kitchen in Ithaca, it was a much smaller venue.
Okay.
And we were in a thrust space, meaning there were people on our right and our left as well. And more level with us versus in the space at Jeeva. It's a much bigger space and everyone is just out and up.
Yeah.
So immediately there's a new type of relationship with the audience in general, in terms of the level of intimacy that we felt at the kitchen versus the level of intimacy that we need to create to like transcend this like wall between us here at the Jeeva. But in terms of audiences, Or audience responses, I mean, it varies every single night, regardless of whether we're in Rochester or in Ithaca. You know, you can always tell kind of the makeup of your audience without even looking out there, based on what jokes land and where the oohs and the ahs are, and how audible some audience members can be.
Yeah, so I was there on opening night on October 5th, and it was interesting to kind of, I actually was, normally I bring my husband with me, and I was really bummed he couldn't make this one, because I really wanted him to see this with me, especially after I left. I was like, I need somebody to talk to, like right away.
Yeah.
And then I actually ended up calling my mom, and we had this huge, like, hour-long discussion on the phone about, like,
that's awesome.
And it transcended, like, all types of different topics, where I started out, I was like, I just saw this phenomenal play. And I was like, I need to process this. And I usually process by, you know, chatting with my husband about it. And she couldn't make it either. So it was just kind of one of those, I'm like, I'm sitting in the audience and I'm watching everybody and I'm watching the jokes land or not land. Cause there was a little bit of an older demographic that night. So I felt, you know, obviously on the younger side, where I was like, I remember this and I can relate to these feelings that a lot of these characters are having about their circumstances and society at this point. And it was fascinating. It's probably the nicest way to put it.
Yeah.
Because it really was. I mean, I know, Shannon, you're from this area, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Has there been anybody from your, anybody come out to like kind of?
Oh, everybody.
Literally all of them.
My mom is like my PR agent here, and she's very social. So like every group, hi mom, I know you're listening. like every group, every family member, she's just buying like bulk block seats.
She's got like all the subscriptions for this one.
Pretty much, yeah. She's just like selling out the house. So yeah, I mean like old teachers and then just people that I knew from growing up. Like I saw my like old like choir teacher.
Oh wow.
From freshman year. And it took me like just a moment to remember him, but of course I remembered him and he remembered me, and it was just crazy.
How cool is that though?
I haven't been here in a long time.
Maybe, oh, that's really
maybe
nice
a decade.
For them, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That's got to be great then. And then of course you're in, you know, this play that you've now moved, you're in the western side of New York State and you've gone from Ithaca and now you're back home.
Right.
So it's kind of, that's really fun too. And I want to talk a little bit, you mentioned about how it's a different kind of intimacy at Jeeva Theater, but it is still fairly intimate.
Oh yeah.
It's not quite like a black box where they're just all around you. But this setup, and I'm always fascinated by the way that plays kind of develop when they're in Jeeva, one of which is always the set design. And I think the set design for this smart people, I was very intrigued by it, and I was like, I have to ask these guys about this. So there's this blue part of the floor with white rectangular sections attached to it, where obviously light hits on it. How do you guys, I mean, was it the same way when you were at Kitchen Theater with that floor typing? Or
yeah.
The exact same, yeah.
The exact same. There's one element missing, and that's just because we couldn't bring it, but there was a platform.
Okay.
But that was mostly because of the nature of the space.
Right.
But now that we're here, we don't necessarily need it. But.
Can you give our audience some hints about what they should be looking? Because that does play a, in my mind, I started watching it more and more on top of obviously looking at the actors in the scenes, but it is just kind of this very strange, not strange, but interesting setup. And I kind of want to know if you guys can give some hints that people should look for when they're looking at this floor. I know everybody's got their own interpretations, but I kind of want to hear from your perspective how they should approach it. Which I know is a very strange question. I thought it had kind of like a motherboard feel to it, like in a computer.
It's like circuit. Like
yeah,
circuitry.
And it had, and obviously Valerie has her own roles that she plays in each of the ones, and it's very so amazingly done, especially for in that, you know, a smaller space than main stage at theater or at Jiva Theater. But is there, you know, is it supposed to be more of like this mechanical feel and this computer-esque, technologically driven aspect to the play?
I mean, I would say it's a dynamic space. It's a dynamic set design in terms of how the pieces move and how we all move throughout the space, throughout the story. And I would also, for people listening, in terms of what to look out for in terms of the set design, you will very soon see how the various screens and the circuit tree look of everything plays in with sound, plays in with various lines that are said, plays in with various projections. It's all tied together for sure.
Okay, there we go. That's what I was looking for. So I'm like, I know that it has it, and I just want to see how you guys present it, because like I said, I have my own thoughts on it and what I pulled away from it, but what is it that you're trying to bring? So I also want to ask you guys, because this is a racially driven storyline. It's about, you know, there's a neuroscientist who's trying to, you know, he's got his own theory about how race plays out in the different races, how racism plays in the different races. And, you know, we've got Black, white, and Asian American involved in this play. And I'm curious as to what you guys as yourselves would want the audience that come in to pull away from this.
There's a handful of things that I do really enjoy saying, because I very much agree with them.
Okay.
I'm not wanting to give away too much, but the dynamic of being, it is mentioned briefly, but that the dynamic in America of race relations being black and white is pretty real in my life. So I love the opportunity to be able to bring an Asian storyline into the dynamic of black and white race relations.
Which, and you have a very powerful storyline too. I mean, they're all very powerful, and it gets to be, there is this big moment where everybody kind of has these realizations about the roles that they play, both in the stereotypes that are portrayed and how they are working to break through them and how society, they're working to break through society's judgment on it. And it's a really fun conversation, and Jenny has a huge role in it, but so does Jackson. So Bryce, what do you think that you would like audiences to take away from coming out to see this and seeing you and everybody else in the play?
You know, one of the biggest things that I've personally taken away from this entire process is, well, from this entire process in the political climate that we're in currently, is that, you know, a lot of race relations and a lot of racially charged issues can be chopped up to perspective. The idea of a perception or one's perspective. And we get to see four very different, very diverse perspectives on that stage. Even though there are two black characters, they have very different perspectives, very different backgrounds, very different upbringings. But the way that one's perception of the world plays into their idea or plays into various prejudices or stereotypes that they may or may not have. I don't want to give too much away, but there are a lot of specific lines within the show that give us very clear pictures into one's perspective and where they're coming from and how they view the world and race within it. But just if you do come to see the show, have in mind perspective and be open to hearing someone else's perspective, because that's what we get to experience throughout the entire show.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of, you know, you mentioned you came to opening night and there were jokes that landed and jokes that did not land. Right. And, specifically in our first act. And you can definitely chalk that up to various perspectives being out there. And the majority of the perspective was of one where the other perspectives felt maybe uncomfortable laughing because not everybody else was, because it would have been uncomfortable.
Right.
Which happens a lot.
But it forces you into that, mm-hmm. which I know that that's kind of the point. And I willingly led myself, but I still even found myself going, oh, geez, like laughing, but feeling a little like nobody else around me is laughing, but I'm just very entertained as well. Cause I'm just mm-hmm. like, oh, wow, that was really out there, you know, and you mm-hmm. don't expect it. So it starts out, you know, as this really entertaining, you know, you're seeing all the different backgrounds, and it's, and then you get to that point where you're just like, here's my normal standard of comfort. And then it just kind of shoves you right over the edge, but gently. You get a pillow sort of to land on, but then it continues to shove you past that comfort zone because it has to be.
Right.
You know, in a way, I wrote down a note that other than the flip phone technology, is this any different than today? Is that play, when it was written, any different than today?
A couple of times, so our director, Summer L. Williams.
Love her so much.
I think she was in the play like a few rows behind me, and I was just like, you're the director. I get really
She's an angel. We love her so much.
She's the best.
The artistic director at The Kitchen, Bevan O'Gara, mm-hmm. they are pretty close friends with the playwright.
Okay.
And they've said a couple of times that her name is Lydia Diamond, and Lydia has said that when she was first writing the play, do you remember when she was writing it?
She was writing this in like 2006.
Okay, so she was writing it sort of on the cusp of all of this, and she thought she was writing it for that moment. And then as he was elected, she thought she was writing it for that moment. Mm-hmm. And she now says that she was writing it for this moment.
It's and, like perfect.
Yeah, and it really does fit. Sorry, mm-hmm. go on.
No, I just that the mood at the end of the play used to be a happy and celebrational one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And now the mood at the end of the play is very much like, this is not done.
No, it leaves you feeling that way. Every character, while they end in different points of their story, but it's not the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of left like, well, wait a minute. Like, it ended. And like, even when we went to intermission, I was just like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
Totally the point.
I'm glad that's
everything you felt, because that's what we want people to leave feeling.
Yeah.
It's because, without giving too much away in terms of just the overall race issue, it's because there's no bow. It's not, we haven't wrapped it up.
No.
We haven't, you know, packaged this thing in yet at all. And so the fact that you left like, what? Like, that's good, because that's what it should feel like. It's not done, and I don't know that it ever will be, but...
And the fact that you called your mom and had an in-depth, hour-long conversation, that's it. We did our job. That's great.
You did a phenomenal job. And I came home and I told my husband about it, and I was just like, you guys have to see this play. You really do. I think Jeeva has made some really smart decisions, and they always do. There's not a season that's not well curated, but this was such a phenomenal and very intelligent choice to put in, and even literally next door to In the Heights. You mm-hmm. know, you still have a story about a racially involved kind of aspect from one side of things, but then you have smart people that delves you into a whole other side, and the conversation is not done, and it is very applicable. And the thing I would tell people from my perspective as a viewer is, go in with that open mind. Go in not with what you think is the reason behind what they do as the characters, but go in listening, not mm-hmm. thinking, if you will.
Yeah.
I think that kind of was really helpful to have that conversation, though, because it needs to be had more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you go in thinking, like, it's, I don't know, it's me and Jake Lee Smith, who plays Brian White in the show, we sometimes get a kick out of seeing, like, visible or audible frustration on someone that we've super challenged.
Yes.
And that visibly will not budge. Like, no matter the various, like, obvious things that are presented, like, it may just not land. And that's also okay to, like, recognize, like, someone else sitting next to them, like, man, like, this isn't even gonna, you're not gonna allow this to penetrate what you've built up to, for whatever reason. And that's something like to take away as well, at least as a performer, to like see and like acknowledge.
And for the record, if you ever think that they can't see you, they see you. They see you all the time.
We can see you. Yeah.
And because at one point too, and I just forgot about this until this moment, the lights come on in the audience and I'm sitting there like sat up straighter and was kind of like, what's going on? Because suddenly you're involved. And that's the cool thing about it, is you become involved in this and you start to feel frustrated for each of the characters because their own prejudice come into play and you're like, but wait a second, you're not giving them a chance to get involved in these relationships.
Yeah.
And I started getting mad at one point with, I think it was with Ginny and Brian. And I was like, wait, but that's not fair. Like, give them a second to talk. And I just got so mad. And of course, I'm by myself. And I'm like, all right, I'm just talking to myself now. But afterwards, you know, it leads you to these conversations that people need to have.
Yeah. I think a really fascinating point that's come up a couple of times is that sometimes people would walk in assuming that they would identify with the person who is most like them, with the character who is like physically most like them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times someone will walk out being like, there was someone in Ithaca who was a white man, and he obviously, like, you would walk into it saying like, oh, I'll probably agree the most with the white man. Mm-hmm. And my director was very kind to say like, he really identified with you. He followed you the whole time. Mm-hmm. in a way that really surprised me.
That's
and probably surprised him too.
Yeah, you kind of want to go up and like, I have some follow up questions.
the talkbacks are crazy.
I really wanted to like, and I even walking out, the other audience reactions. I like to listen to see what other people say, and there were some that were very confused at first. You know, they were just kind of like, I don't know how I feel about that, and that's part of it in a way. I don't know how you guys feel, but I was like, all right, good. Good, you shouldn't know how to feel about it. Process it. Come back tomorrow. Like, readdress the issues tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because if it makes you uncomfortable, sometimes you have to have that conversation.
Well, there are definitely probably a lot of people come into this show purely for entertainment, you know, just for like the theater aspect of going to the theater and being entertained and maybe not expecting to be, I don't know, implicated in anything. Like, they're just expecting to view a thing, maybe think a little, but like at the end of the day, like, we had a good day or night at the theater, but our show isn't that. Like, our show is very entertaining and very funny,
it
but
is.
At the same time, very much
it's very
involves
thoughtful.
You and
yeah.
Kind of, it's confusing. It can confuse you if you came in with a certain set of beliefs.
It is, and we're kind of dancing around the topic, but you have to go see it. To hear a little bit more about, and to see, you have to see it to experience it fully. There's only so much we can talk about, and there's only so much that we can try to convey, but it is such a phenomenal talking point, though, and it is such a phenomenal view on the past versus now, people then and now, but at the same time, there's still these universal characteristics. Like, I'm having a hard time because I'm just like, it was so good because it just really hit me. And I was just like, dang, I wanted everybody to see it. Cause I'm like, I need to have this conversation with like everybody, you want, and that's probably why she wrote the play, because you have to have this conversation and we want to have this conversation and each of these facets want to have this conversation, demographically all over. You want to have this conversation. And it's happening now, but I think that with smart people, you have now a talking point off of it. Because literally my hour-long conversation with my parents started with that and then just went way everywhere. Into something else.
Yeah.
Something that I never talked to my parents about, honestly. And
same
I was just
thing
like,
happened with me.
We've hit our 1 year, our annual political conversation. And I was like, by the way, guys, I'm really proud of you because we actually had this conversation and we didn't hang up on each other.
You did it.
Nice.
Good
you did
you.
It.
And you guys had a huge part of this. Like, yeah.
I am thrilled.
Yes.
She is really excited, by the way, because she, like, as soon as I said it earlier, she got super stoked. I think, is there anything else that you guys want to convey to the audience about this phenomenal play? This one's going to stick with me for a really long time. However, I would like to say it is actually the only play in Jeeva I have not cried in. And I've cried at every single other play I've ever seen. But I cried a little inside, if that counts. But, like, never. And I didn't physically cry because I was just so involved in this story and I wanted to see where it went. But that's a first for me. But like you say, that they're not always entertaining. Sometimes they really kind of break your heart a little.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry. Is there anything else that you would like to pass along to the audience before we wrap things up?
You want me to say the thing?
Oh, say your thing. He came up with this.
Okay. I'm going to say the thing that I said once. We were doing a talk back, and there was like a lot. Everybody was talking and like a whole bunch of things. And then like obviously just the idea of racism and that term kept getting thrown around. And they were like, I just don't feel like anything was solved. Like, I don't know. And I was like, okay, imagine everyone listening. Imagine if racism was just like a person, right? Racism is just a person walking around living its life. If racism is a person, what smart people did, what Lydia R. Diamond did, is we came up to racism and we just pantsed them. We just pantsed it and exposed it. And so, like, it's not about, you know, solving racism or putting a bow on it. We just came up and we were like, exposed. And then racism was like, oh, God, why? Now everybody knows. But, like, that's essentially what this play does.
And I think that's the most perfect metaphor I've ever heard in my life, and I make him say it all the time.
We pantsed racism.
Why didn't this come up sooner?
Smart people pantsing racism.
That's phenomenal. That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard that metaphor before.
It's a good one.
Because it's you.
I'm making t-shirts.
We needed to have this conversation sooner. I needed you in my life sooner, right? It just needed to happen. Well, guys, I really appreciate you coming in and sharing your thoughts on this very moving play. And if you haven't already, dear Rochester Peace Theater podcast listeners, you've got to go see this play. It's on stage until October 22nd. I really am honored to have been able to talk about this play and to continue to promote it for Jiva and to be able to continue this conversation that the play started. That started many, many moons ago that is now going to continue, I hope. Because that's all you can really hope for sometimes is let's keep it front and center and talk about it. And this is my opinion on it. But I will let you fill in the blanks about, you know, going and seeing it and making up your own mind because I can't change it. Nobody can. It's up to you guys. So thank you again, Shannon and Bryce, for coming in.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it, guys. Again, smart people on stage at the Fielding Stage at Jiva Theater until October 22nd. So go get your tickets, jivatheater.org. And until next time on Rochester Peace Theater, I'm Justine Page. Toodles.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.